Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 6 of season 6. It's called True Q. Q comes back. We haven't seen him in a while. Hasn't been since season 4, I think. He wasn't in season 5 at all, I think, if I'm correct. In this episode, a young woman coming aboard the Enterprise evidences superhuman abilities and is investigated by Q, who claims she is also a Q. This one was directed by Robert Shearer, written by Renee Echevarria, and the story goes to Matthew Corey. Aired back on November 1st, 1992. Modi's here to talk about this one, so right after this, me and Modi are going to go deep on True Q.
Mr. Data, I want you to access any available records on Amanda Rogers.
Yes, Captain.
I want to know about her biological parents, about their death. I find it odd that any Q could die in an accident.
It is not consistent with what we know of them, sir.
I'm convinced that Q isn't telling us everything. See what you can find out.
Aye, sir.
You've come onto the show before and expressed your dislike of Q, I think, right?
I have indeed.
Yeah, I'm not confusing you with anybody else at this point.
No.
I'm a little bit different. I feel that the Q episodes are basically, if not 50-50, they're 60-40 in terms of stuff that I dislike to like. There's definitely not a majority of great Q episodes. Did you watch the, is it Hiding Q? Do you remember that from season 1? It's the one where Q gives Riker the power of the Q. And they're on that planet with the green sky. And Riker is, he gives everybody on the crew like what they want with his powers.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that one, for sure, yeah.
This one feels like a late-season redo of that episode.
Probably a better version of it, maybe.
I think it's better. I don't think this is a great episode, but I think this one is all about, just like that first series one is, what would happen if, like, a human being got the power of the Q? And I like that concept. I feel this episode lets down the concept a bit. What'd you think?
I agree. I was completely aware of what it was trying to get at, of the what would you do with omnipotence kind of thing. I kind of liked, compared to that episode, of it being an everyman kind of person, like not Riker being the person, because that brings its own, you know, things of the character with it. This is mostly a blank slate character that we can kind of put our own things into,
right?
Of what would we do with that in that situation, kind of thing. And I did like a lot about this episode, actually, compared to other Q episodes, for sure. I don't think it was that bad.
Yeah,
it's not a great episode, but it wasn't that bad, actually.
No, I think it's a pretty average episode of the show. If anything, I think it's just a little bit let down by the concept. Is very good. Although this is a very difficult concept for, A, this show to do, and B, any show to do this, because the dramatic problem with giving someone in this series the power of the Q, right, is that there's no downside to the ability.
Yeah, that's true.
There's,
you kind of become a prick, I guess.
Yeah, there's no, if this woman in the show is supposed to be portrayed as, she's obviously a very caring young woman,
mm-hmm.
right? Like she's very, like, she tries to be helpful. She's very polite.
Yeah.
She's very, like, she's worked hard her entire life.
She tries really hard. Yep.
Why does she not just immediately cure all disease in the galaxy?
Right. Yeah. I was like thinking, like, she's working on this stuff for this disease. She could cure it immediately. Like, and she eventually does fix the planet, apparently, but you know, from the get-go, like, oh, I have these powers, do this thing, these things, okay, sure, I'll take advantage of that.
Yep.
And like you say, there's no real downside to the Q, because we don't really know what they're about.
No.
Like, it keeps us, like, it's like, like, even Amanda brings it up here. She's like, what do you do with this power, help people? And he's like, we do whatever we want, man.
Yeah.
And like, okay, well, that doesn't really do anything for me. What let's do something productive with it.
I felt so let down because I hadn't seen this one in a while, and I was watching it with my wife, and she was like, she was asking before that came up, she's like, what are the Q about? Like, why don't they just take over the world? And I was like, well, I think they think that they're better than that. Like, there's no reason for them to do that. And as I said that, Q on screen is like, let me tell you about the Q. I was like, oh, I'm going to actually get an answer about what the Q believe, and he does not tell you anything about what the Q believe. No.
And there's also a little bit of, like, is Q a good Q? You know what I mean?
That's
like,
that was
I get
another
the sense
question
that he's not a good Q. Yeah. I get the sense that, like, given the fact that her parents decided to become human and raise a child on this planet and were eventually killed by the Q, I mean, that's an unfortunate side effect, but the fact that they oppose the Q in a certain extent, like, that means that not all of them are the same. They don't think like Q does.
Right.
So is he just really, like, kind of just an a-hole? And, like, he's the only interaction we have with the Q, so we kind of assume they all are? It's not a hegemony kind of thing. Like, it's... I don't know.
Well, the way he talks about the continuum makes it sound like every Q is a part of it, kind of like the Borg, in a less, like, connected way, but they're all like, involved in being part of the continuum. Although the episode makes it sound like the continuum is more like the government of the Q, sort of. And I don't think that makes any sense. We had the same concern about whether or not, or, like, do you think all Q are like Q? Are they all kind of troublemakers? That does not seem to be the case.
No. I mean, they can't possibly be. Because, I mean, the only interactions we had with the Q was the one that comes after Q.
In Q
Corbin
too.
Bergson's character, right?
Yeah. Hiding Q? I forget.
No, it's Q. I don't remember.
Deja Q.
Yeah, that's probably it. And that's the only other interaction we've had with it. And he is kind of a troublemaker too. But I also get the sense that he's also more aloof than the actual continuum is. I don't know. I get the sense that Q is not a very good Q.
In terms of he's an
like
outcast?
He's the black sheep kind of person. Like he's the troublemaker. He's the black sheep. He's the one that they don't invite to the parties because he's not like them. And they send him on these missions to deal with humans because they're like, you know what? He gets a kick out of this stuff, and we don't. So let him go do it.
Let him get distracted.
Get his rocks off to the messing with the humans.
Oh, no, more rocks. We already talked about that. No,
more rocks.
Do you think that the Q as a species actually believe that they're morally superior? Or is that this Q?
Again, I think that's all this Q. Like, all this stuff that we've interacted with, it's like, I don't know. We've had the only interaction we had with the Q this episode was the voice of God talking to Q in the hallway and saying, is it decided yet or whatever? And, like, I don't know. We don't really know where they're coming from because he never gives us anything. He tries to be aloof with it and say, we do whatever we want. I originally thought they were kind of a observer kind of species of just like let things be and don't interfere, but then like Q just messes with them all the time, so that can't be the case.
Right. Yeah.
And then it's like he's so curious about humans and he thinks he knows everything about humans but is continually surprised by them, and so they're again omnipotent without omniscience, so how are they any better of a governing body than anything else would be, you
right,
know?
Like, exactly.
They're just more powerful. That's all there are.
Right. Their moral thing would only be force, and they're not particularly interested.
Yeah, and they don't know anything. If Q is telling them everything he knows about humans from what he's learned, they don't know anything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that they're interesting because I think they could easily be rewritten into a much stronger kind of species. I think that the really great Q episodes are really, really good episodes of the show, where he acts as a moral barometer without coming across as he thinks that what he thinks is superior. It's more about showing characters what they think is either right or wrong. Those are better episodes than the troublemaking trickster episodes. Like, I kind of consider this one to be a little bit of the middle ground. The problem here is that the Q are not defined enough to have this episode make a lot of sense by the end of it.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem with the Q. For sure.
Because, as we said before, there's no downside to using the power. If there was a downside, it's a much more of an interesting trade-off. If the Q thing... If you rewrote the Q to where at the end here, she helps this planet, right? He gives her this devil's deal. It's like, you can stay with the humans, but you can't use your powers, or you can come back with me. If the Q's ethos was basically that they are sort of above, their moral superiority is that they are like, they see neither right nor wrong. That makes that much more difficult. If Q is like, the Q would not try to save this planet because that is not important to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
They don't do that because he continues to insist that the Q are all about fulfilling whatever fantasies that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a terrible god-like being to have.
Why would we care about the species? I mean, all they are is just a leisurely species that wants to fulfill every fantasy or any desire they have.
Well, how would you?
Why would they keep existing? Like, they have no art, they have no culture, they have nothing. They just can create anything they want to create and then destroy it at the same time.
If you have everything, why would you want anything? Like, why would you have fantasies if you had everything?
And that's where Q is the mystery. I think that's why he is a bad Q, because he seems to be intrigued with humans more than anyone else is, and he can't have that. He wants to get in that, and he doesn't, it frustrates him that he doesn't have what they have, and he acts superior to it, but he keeps coming back around, and he keeps trying to insist that, oh, our way is the better way, yet he's still here. Like, he's still coming to talk to the humans. He's not above that. None of the other Q are wasting their time with the humans.
That's true.
Just him.
Yeah.
He's the only human interaction they've had.
I think that's a good point. I think that's accurate. He's deeply dissatisfied with being a Q, and even his Q-like abilities can't fill the need that he has for it to be. What do you think he likes about humans?
I don't know. I mean, maybe the fact that they can't have everything they want maybe is intriguing to him.
Mm.
The idea of limits. Like, we haven't really established what the limits of the Q are. Like, they can turn back time. They can
raise the dead.
They can raise the dead. They can fix entire planets. They can rewrite history. They can do whatever they want. So there's no limits.
Well, like, here's something I wanted to ask you then. Riker in this thing gets beamed off to, or she takes him into some fantasy land where they're like 18th century Pride and Prejudice types. Why all the characters always insist this, and I don't understand it because it doesn't seem to be the way that the Q character is written. They always insist that none of this is real. I argue it is 100% real because the Q are capable of making it.
It's not the holodeck.
Right.
Like, you have not real. You can do that anytime you want. They're making this reality.
they can actually bring people back from the dead. They can wipe out entire species. Like, this is really happening. The fact that they can reverse it does not make it not real. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, and Riker's point is that it's not love if he's forced into it. Yeah, it's not if you trick someone or if you trick somebody into taking all of your emotions, it's not real kind of thing.
And I can totally understand that. But he goes out of his way. He's like, this gazebo is not real.
He gets a little too specific. Yeah, he's like, no, it's real, buddy. We're back in 18th century right now.
And I can understand. It's real. I can understand her as a human being unsatisfied if you get everything just by wishing it to happen. At the same time, if you gave a human this ability, this is the problem with Hide and Q. Riker gets all these abilities, and he basically gives people like the stupidest shit that they would want. It's like a party favor. Like, oh, Picard, I saw you were looking at that like nice velvet jacket. Like, here's a jacket. Picard's like, oh, I don't want this jacket. I want to earn it. It's that kind of thing. Here, this great human character who is not even a threat to humans. You know what I mean? She's basically saving the day on the worst day the Enterprise ever had. You know, in the first two acts. And I don't know. It's like there's no downside to her doing this. It's not like the human is a bad person who has powers of the Q that the Q have to stop. There's nothing bad about it.
Yeah, there's no downside to being a Q. There's no consequences to being a Q.
Mm-hmm.
There's no consequences to any choices you make as a Q, because anything you do can be rewritten.
Right.
there's nothing that is actually, there's nothing that's actually real. Then if what Riker is saying is that none of this is real, then that's all of reality is not actually a thing for a Q.
Exactly. They can just flip it around on you. Yeah.
You don't like if you don't like things being a certain way, then why are, again, why would any Q die then? You know what I mean? Like, the Q can be killed in this episode.
Yes.
Which raises some interesting quandaries. Yeah. it raises some interesting things that they can be killed without coming back. I just don't know. It's like I keep thinking of how it works in Doctor Who, of someone who can do anything basically, but they have rules, they have limits, and there's certain things that you just have to be.
Right.
You know, there are certain ways it has to have gone. But with the Q, it doesn't seem that way. But they do have people that ended up murdered by the Q. So how does that work?
I think that, you know, in most stories, anybody that has a really great power, the obvious choice is that the great power is kind of killing you. In some sense, either killing your soul or literally killing you. They don't really have that, and it's a problem for them. They don't have a rationale that explains why they hold this thing, why they choose to do anything that they do. There's no guiding principles behind them, and it's very problematic. And this is probably the creepiest John Delancey performance, I think. How many times can this guy be nibbling on this woman's ear as he's whispering Q knowledge to her, which is basically think about something and then it happens.
Puppies.
It was worth it for the puppies.
Yeah. My wife was watching this with me, and she's like, the puppy scene happened, and she's like, okay, best episode ever, turn it off right now. I'm like, yeah, you're right. This is great. The woman who creates puppies, makes them disappear. Perfect kind of puppies. That's all you need. Roll credits.
I made the joke that if my wife had the power, our house would just be immediately filled to the brim with puppies. It would just be I would be smothered by puppies. And then when
you need to clean up after them or whatever, you just, disappear them back into the void.
That's right. Send them back to where they came from.
I need to sleep for a few more minutes. Puppy, go into the void now.
We did not have a Q episode in season 5. Is that surprising to you?
That is kind of surprising, yeah.
Okay. I thought it was a little bit interesting. I think we have 2 in season 6, and that's it until the series finale. All good things. Is there anything that you feel Q is... So we only have Tapestry left. So is there anything that you think that the Q are really missing out on? Was there one big thing that you'd be like, they should have done that episode about the Q?
I want to see the Enterprise deal with a rogue Q. How do you... if you're fighting an enemy that can do anything, I want to see that battle take place. I want to see how that they can get out of that. Because, even with the stuff with Q here... and the rivalries they have with their lives are on the line and that kind of thing, it never feels that dangerous. And I would just imagine if they bring back Amanda here, later this season as a callback, and find out that she's gone completely dark, and her humanity actually corrupted the Q ideals, and their morality is off kilter completely now.
Yep.
And she's actually taking control and remaking the universe in her image, kind of thing, and playing a vengeful god kind of person. And that kind of conflict I'd like to see, of how do you deal with that. That would be an interesting episode.
It's funny.
That's what I would like to see them go with that.
It's funny you mention that, because I was thinking, it's sort of similar. I was thinking about a plot of a Q hunting another Q, kind of like a fugitive type thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because I cannot even imagine what a... It's obviously beyond the scope of the special effects of the show, but... I can't understand what a fight between Qs would be like.
That's why they're just talking, because there's that she shoves him across the room when she doesn't want to do what he wants to do. So they can interact and hurt each other.
Yes, or at least...
And kill each other, apparently, with tornadoes.
Yes, they can kill each other, apparently, but you... It seems to me what is implied that you need a lot of Q to kill a Q seems to be the thing. The continuum needs to be behind what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know... I don't know if 2Q get in a fight, if it's possible for one of them to kill the other one.
Yeah. Yeah, what happens then? And also, why do they kill her parents? Why don't they just, rewrite history and get rid of them altogether?
Why can't they just remove their powers?
From the permanent record, yeah.
I'd imagine the Q would be able to take away a Q's, because Q has his powers taken away.
Yeah, he removes them. So the Q have control over each other, they can remove their power. So they decide to kill them with a tornado rather than just expunging them from reality.
Right. Yeah, it was that was. And he gives something about her parents had a tough time not using their powers, which makes sense, but again, flies in the face of the episode where he gets his powers taken from him.
Right. They could have just taken the powers. There's a little bit of. They should have watched the prior episodes maybe before they wrote this one.
Why did they settle in Kansas?
Again, because of a tornado connection. They settled in Kansas so they could do a tornado, so it's Dorothy in Oz kind of thing.
I guess in the future...
That's the connection. It's a writer's thing. That's the reason.
Yeah, just they needed a tornado to make sense somewhere. Yeah. Although that was a... that was a real conspiracy theory there. No one seemed to investigate the mysterious tornado that killed two people and then just disappeared, and witnesses said was the craziest shit that they'd ever seen in their lives.
Yeah, and there's actual, like, pylons or whatever that stop tornadoes from happening now on Earth.
Yeah,
so, like,
a weather net.
This is the thing that no one ever has seen, presumably, before. Because I'm sure that this is not the first year that those pylons have gone in. So, you know, this is a tornado that's never happened before, never happened since. And no one's talking about it.
Let's talk about what's going on with the female character's hair in this episode.
Okay.
Troy's hair is just insane.
Troy's a mess in this episode.
She is a mess. And Dr. Crusher has one scene where she's talking to, Amanda, where she looks like she hasn't showered in 3 days. Her hair is so flat and dead. It was just, it's a weird criticism, but this is the stuff you notice when you're in mid-season six of this TNG show.
Yeah. I was wondering if Miranda Sirtis was, like, sick in this episode or something like that, because she just did not look right.
No, she looked
bad.
Like,
her skin was too pale. Her dress was making her face look weird. Her hair, her wig was just not, like, something was off altogether with her this episode.
No, I totally agree with that.
And the fact that Beverly is dishing out the counseling this episode, too.
Yep.
It may be a giveaway that there's something going on with the Sirtis here.
This is a Beverly episode, right?
Yeah, it is a Beverly episode, technically.
As much as anyone's episode it is, it's a Beverly episode.
Yeah.
Which is neat. It's maybe not neat, but in my wrap-up video I mentioned how there is... You know cause and effect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that a Crusher episode?
I guess so.
Okay. I'm torn. I could go either way. I don't know which it is. If it's not a Crusher episode, Crusher had no episodes to herself in season 5, which I think is bizarre. And this one, she just gets a pseudo episode, kind of her. It's technically Amanda's episode, but she's not really a main cast member at this era, and never will be. What'd you think of the exterior of the Enterprise?
That was cool.
I mean,
I like that they got to go up there. That was fun.
It seems
something you don't get to see very often.
It seems a lot bigger than I thought it would be. Maybe the scale is not right. I don't really know, but I feel like the ship felt a lot bigger than I thought it should be. Although I guess it's hard to say.
I don't know. Like maybe it seemed too small. Now I'm thinking about it.
Really?
Like when they're sitting on top of it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
We'll have to get the.
I'm trying to picture the scene in my mind now of like the scale that it was at.
Yeah, well, they're very close in the front of the camera.
Yeah, so they're gigantic in the
yeah
maybe.
It's tough. It's
because this thing has to be huge. Like it's a city floating in space.
Well,
so it has to be gigantic.
Enterprise D length. I think I'll be. So the Enterprise D, it is 640 meters long, 2,100 feet.
640 meters?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem long enough.
I think the ship is smaller than... So, 642... How many meters in a mile? Meters
in... Conversion, it's 0.3
miles. 0.3
miles.
Yeah, so it's a quarter of a mile long, basically.
Just about, yeah.
That's... I guess that's... If you stretch out a running track, I guess that's a pretty decent-sized thing. You know?
Yeah. For as much stuff as in this, though? Now we're having a nerd fight about how that this doesn't make any sense that it's 640 meters long.
Well, before we go to final thoughts, have you ever seen the Minecraft thing where the guy made the Enterprise?
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
That is.
I don't know if he actually ever finished it, because it's such a gigantic project, but I never saw it actually finished. But
no,
I've just seen
from a distance. It looks like it's finished, and then you get closer, and you're like, oh, it is.
No, it's not done.
It is definitely not done. Anyway, yeah, I think we're done talking about True Q. It's, I was surprised by the conversation we had about this one in a good way. I think that, although I think it's, well, let's just go to final thoughts. I'm going to play an audio clip. We're going to come back. We're going to give our final thoughts and ratings for True Q.
Bonjour, mon capitaine. You wanted to speak with me.
Wanted to ask you about Amanda's biological parents. When they decided to remain on Earth, what was the reaction in the Q continuum?
We found it incomprehensible.
Were they pressured to return? Were they threatened with any punishment if they didn't?
What are you driving at, Picard?
Well, the circumstance of their death is quite odd. A tornado somehow escaped the weather modification net and touched down in only one spot. Amanda's home.
Well, you can never predict the weather.
As I was saying before I rudely interrupted myself, I think that this episode is more interesting in what it is on the periphery of than what the episode is about. I don't think it's a bad episode, but I don't think it's really, I don't think it really accomplishes everything that it's setting out to do. And guys, if you're on YouTube, you can click the upper right-hand corner of the video, go to the poll feature, it's a little gray circle, vote on what you think you would give this episode on a scale of 1 to 5. Modi, what are you going to give this one? I'm interested.
I'm going to give it a 3. Because I don't think it's a bad episode. It's actually got, it's got promise. I don't know what they could do to fix it, but it does definitely, it's more focused than the last one we watched for sure. And it has a message that it's trying to talk about, and it's talking about it in an interesting way. And it's relatively well acted by everyone. The guest star did very, very well, I think. And yeah, I think it was a solid 3, I'll say.
I think that the ending of this episode saves it a little bit. I was pretty bored for the first maybe 3 acts of it. I was not thinking it was very good. I didn't think it was very great. I think that once they introduce even the slightest bit of a moral question at the end, it kind of elevates it a little bit, and I wish that more of the episode had been about that. It kind of is, but it's not good enough to really stick with the episode. Like, there's no real moral conundrum at the start of this episode, as we've gone over, because there's no downside to the Q. If they had focused on some kind of negative aspect to it where she's giving up something to get this power, I would have really, really liked this episode. So I think I'm going to give it a strong 2. And I'll call it a day there with a strong 2. It's just those plot lines that are unresolved that I just wanted fixed at the end.
Yeah, and there's something more they could have done here. I don't know which direction they had to take it in, but like you said, yeah, the character has to make a choice. Plot lines are never very interesting.
Right.
And the only interesting choice really is the very end when she makes it without saying so. When she saves the colony, you're like, okay, I can see she's made her choice now, kind of thing. It's very interesting, actually, at that point.
Yes. Because
but that's really the biggest interesting choice.
She said to sacrifice something.
Yeah, she's giving up her humanity to be Q to save humanity, kind of thing.
Yes, yeah. Or save some ugly, save
people,
asthmatic
whatever.
Version of humans.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. Some creature that she cares about.
I appreciated the... I like it when the show always takes a very a trick out of season 1 and 2, and it just jabs at, can you believe that people pollute their environment like this? This is crazy. I love it when they do that stuff. It never fits. It never feels natural, and it always feels like the show patting
shoehorned
itself on the back. Yeah.
Shoehorned in, yeah.
Can you believe that they polluted their environment? Anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening. If you're on YouTube, like it, a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review helps get the show out there. You can also leave a like and a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/thepenskypodcast. Follow me on Twitter, @thatpenskyfile. You can support the show on Patreon. You get some exclusive goodies in your MP3 deliveries if you support the show on Patreon, patreon.com/thepenskypodcast. Thank you to all of our patrons so far. It's much appreciated. It'll possibly move me into Deep Space, or not possibly, it will move me into Deep Space 9 much quicker than anticipated, which was unlikely before that, so now it's getting there much faster. Modi, anything you want to say?
No, I'm going to go manifest some puppies, I think.
Yeah, and I'll go manifest.
Void them again. Yep.
Going to go manifest a stiff drink and then go to bed, I think, after that. No, but the True Q is not really all that bad. I'm glad we get one more great Q episode. I'll say that at this point. And
absolutely.
And I guess, I mean, All Good Things is a good episode too, but
that's true.
It's hard to consider that a main episode of the show.
Yeah, you can't really count that.
No. Cool. Well, thank you for coming on.
No problem. Anytime.
Guys, check out Moda's channel. There's a link in the description below and on the poll feature. You can click that. It'll bring you a link to his channel. And I will be back with the episode that comes after True Q, which is Rascals. Oh, boy. All right. Rascals. Yeah, Rascals. It's the last Chief O'Brien appearance. So let's all get ready for that.